This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
So this was my, and Rick, when you played in the NHL, I mean, this is like the pregame anthem across every arena, right? Right now, by Van Halen?
Yeah, this is one of them, yeah.
Right? So I bought the CD of that. The day, like, I first heard that, I remember sitting in my driveway listening to that song, being like, this is the greatest song I've ever heard. The first time I heard it. I bought the CD, and I played it so many times, I broke the CD.
That's, I mean, that may be a little excessive.
I love that song. I love that album.
It's a great album.
It's a great album.
What was my first CD? My first CD was, I somehow talked my parents into buying me a Naughty by Nature CD. Was my first CD.
That would be your first CD.
I mean, this surprises no one.
That would be
this
your first one.
No one. How old were you? Really? Like nine?
I was young. Young.
You were
I was
nine.
Like, I don't know. Find out when that first with OPP, One Mother Bleep or Two Mother Bleep, when that CD first came out is when I got it like the week it came out.
Had was it like a debate with the parents of should we get him for this or should we not?
No, Mickey had no idea that it was like parental advice. She had no idea. Like, she didn't even pay attention until she heard the lyrics. And she's like, who bought you that? I was like, you just bought me that.
So she got angry that someone bought it for you and she's the person that bought it for you?
Yeah, exactly right. How disappointed when you saw her get kicked off of Masked Singer. Were you upset?
I don't even follow that.
Yeah, Cheryl got kicked off. First one off.
Who did?
Cheryl, Mickey. Oh, see you later.
Mickey Rourke got. I didn't know Mickey Rourke was on the show.
Oh, yeah, he took himself out. He just pulled his own mask. They didn't even vote. He just pulled his. He was hot in the mask, so he just pulled it
91. How old were you in 1991?
10.
It's like 10. 10. So they bought you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it turns out I actually, as I got older, I went to visit Such when Such was at college. I got to see Naughty by Nature at Such's bougie college.
Really?
Perform was awesome.
What bougie college did he go to?
He went to Trinity.
Oh, yeah, that is bougie.
Yeah, very bougie.
Very, very bougie. All right, 800-919-3776. Guys, NFL, real concerns. Two more Titans test positive today. Their game against the Bills is now very much in question. Stephon Gilmore test positive. A Raiders player test positive. So, real concern in the NFL. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. But the Yankee fans, they want to talk, and we're here for them. Let's go to Xavier in Schenectady. Xavier, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's it going this morning?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Rick, happy birthday to your daughter as well.
Thank you, my man.
Listen, I just want to say something real quick, and then I'll let you guys speak about it. As far as the Yankees are concerned, man, I know you guys remember in the 90s when Derek Jeter was there, there was more than one leader. You had Bernie, you had Paul, you had guys who would step up, and you trusted in these guys to step up, even though they weren't Jeter. Last night, that game, I don't understand, like, fully why Tanaka is slotted for game three. But the amount of money that he makes and his longevity on the Yankees and his history of good postseason play. I know his last game, he didn't do that well when he was out. But his history is that he's a great postseason pitcher. Why would he not demand that ball in game two, have the Yankees go up 2-0, and then if you want to get cute in game three with half?
Because that's not who he is. Because that's not who he is. And there's no guarantee Tanaka's going to win. I mean, in a five-game series, it's 1-3-5. Those are the most important games.
Guys, is he not the best? Do you trust him more than you trust Garcia and you trust...
Yes, sir. That's why you pitch him in game three.
But why?
Because if you do lose game two, you feel better about in the swing game having Tanaka being your starter. It hurts the Yankees that James Paxton is out. I mean, that's a big loss.
Yeah.
And they went. That's not who Tanaka is. He's not going to go into Aaron Boone. First of all, it's a decision made by the GM in collaboration. And by collaboration, I mean that Aaron Boone sits there and listens to what Brian Cashman is telling him.
You're putting in air quotes. Collaboration is in air quotes.
He's not in his head. Okay.
It's like when me and Dave have conversations with our wives. It's not okay. They want to say it's collab. It's not. They're telling us what we should do, and we say, absolutely, honey. That's exactly what we're going to do. That's what that was.
But Xavier, thanks for the call. That's not going to work. Tanaka's not going to walk into the you know, locker room and be like, all right, coach, give me the ball, game two. I need this. That's not going to work.
I'm still with that last caller, though. I would have pitched Tanaka in game two. We'll figure out game three when we get to it. I would have pitched Tanaka. That's the way I would have went. Like, I don't want to take any chances with the Rays. Like, if I get a chance to put my foot on their throat and go up 2-0 in that series, then, yeah, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And if you don't have those blow-up innings from Happ in the second and third, then you're talking about the Yankees having a lead through the first four innings of that game, if it all played out the same way. So,
but
I mean,
they
I
clearly
I,
love I, this plan, though. They, I mean, yeah, they love this plan. When they announced Davey Garcia was the game two starter, this was always the plan.
How does it look in hindsight? It looks terrible.
It looked awful at the time. It was a ridiculous plan. They might have thought it was great, but you heard Michael say he got a million texts and calls, and people were dumbfounded at this decision.
Oh, because it made no sense.
It still doesn't.
It wasn't like when Aaron Boone after the game was trying to say it was fluid. It wasn't fluid. It wasn't if Davey Garcia got through the first inning in nine pitches that he was going to pitch the second inning. Jay Happ was warming up like he was going to go into the game in the second inning.
Because he was. That was the plan beforehand. If he got through on three pitches, pop up, ground out, pop up, he would have come out of the game. He was not going in for inning number two. It makes no sense. Neil in the Bronx. Neil, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, morning, Dave. Morning, Chris. Here's my.
Well, how about Rick?
No, that's okay. I understand. That's okay.
No, that's fine.
Here's my thought on their decision on what they did last night with the pitching. And here it goes. The last three playoff games, the Yankees' bats, they were on fire. So they was probably expecting for them to come on fire last night, and they, except for Stanton, they didn't. And Hap, you guys are being a little too hard on Hap. It wasn't like if he was being blown away.
What?
The Yankees had a lot of opportunities to close this game out, and the Yankee lineup is what let the Yankees down.
They scored five runs, Neil. Neil, they scored five runs. Lineup. Five. Hang on a second. I'm gonna give you Hap's stat line. Maybe you're unfamiliar with what he did. No. Hang on a second. He went two and two thirds. He went two and two thirds, five hits, three walks, four runs, all earned, two home runs. Tell me again how Hap pitched pretty well last night.
I say he pitched pretty well, but he kept them in the game. It wasn't like
timeout.
Oh my God.
Stanton kept them in the game.
But timeout for a quick second. So what you've done now in making the decision that you made in game two is for two and two-thirds innings have now lost half of the entire season. He's done. Hap will know he's done. He's not going to pitch anymore. And then, apparently, I mean, Davey Garcia is available for game four. If that's you're going to have to piece that together with him and Jordan Montgomery, if that's the case. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that the reason you made this decision is because the Yankees' bats have been so good over the first three games, is exactly why you don't need to make this decision.
Right. You got too cute.
Yep.
All you needed was a mediocre start. If Garcia would have given you five and a third, a four-run ball, you probably win this game.
You didn't even give him the opportunity to prove that he could pitch.
Nope.
He was going to be nervous in the first inning. That's almost a given. That at 21 years old in your first start, there's going to be some nerves.
But he didn't do anything, Rick, that you looked at, you're like, oh my God.
No.
Like he allowed a home run to a guy that's been red hot.
Dave, but in the way that at bat was called by CB was embarrassing. I mean, he's awful. We all know that. But if you would have asked me before this game, Rick, Davey Garcia's pitching tonight. He's going to give me six innings. Which inning will he have the toughest? Which will be his toughest? I would say the first inning is going to be his toughest inning to get through because the nerves are going to be crazy. And once he settles in and gets through that, you'll see a more comfortable, better version of Davey Garcia. You didn't give him that opportunity. That wasn't going to be, I can promise you, that wasn't going to be the best inning that he pitched in that game if you gave him the opportunity to continue.
And it wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad. I thought he was fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he touched 95 a couple times. So, I mean, the velocity was on the fastball. He wasn't locating it great, but his secondary stuff was good. And I'm telling you right now, if I'm one of the Rays, I don't care left, right, or whatever it is, I would rather see Jay Happ than Davey. I think Davey Garcia's got much better stuff than Jay Happ does. And I don't care which side of the plate I hit from.
Yeah,
Jay Happ does not scare me at all.
They overplayed their hand is what they did. Dempsey in the Bronx, our guy. What's up, Dempsey? You're on 98.7.
Good morning, DCR. I completely agree with you, Rick, and what you said earlier. Like, if Hap came in the game and pitched well and it wasn't a blow-up, you know, Yankees would have been geniuses and all that other stuff. So it's like, Canty's the only Yankee fan here, but what can we do but not trust the Yankees and trust what they're going to do? They're going to make mistakes, but all in all, they make a lot of good moves. So I'm just going to sit here and trust. But we're going to
But the point was, that wasn't a move where you had to get cute. Like, Cade was on and he said it a couple different times, and we all agree with him. The reason why Tampa came up with the strategy of having an opener is because they don't have options as far as starting pitching was concerned. It was out of necessity. There was no necessity for the Yankees to do that yesterday.
Well, I said I said it on Carlin last night. I agreed with you as well. I thought it was the best decision to put Davey Garcia in game two for the soft landing. But what was the point if you were going to put him in and pretty much almost ruin him for the entire series for one inning? That's just silly. And then also ruining Hap. But we have to just move forward. The game is over. We have three more games and three more nights. We have to worry about game three. Let's move on. I believe in Tanaka, and I think he's going to give us a good show tonight. You know what I mean? Like, we have to have faith in it. So let's move on.
I think everyone believes in Tanaka.
Yeah,
I don't think that's an issue. I think we all believe in Tanaka. I just don't understand why, under those circumstances, after your one game won, you decided to leave yourself open to all this criticism about making a decision like that, especially the way that Jay Happ reacted after the game. Like, if he was that uncomfortable with the plan, I don't know if I can go with the plan then, or I got to find someone else. If Jay Happ's not comfortable, then I keep him. You know what? We'll save him to game four if we need to play game four. I'll go with Garcia and Montgomery then. The guy's already on.
I don't think anybody would have had a problem with. I don't think anybody would have had a problem with that plan.
And he's not even on normal rest either. I mean, he's already been off. Like, I mean, this is a guy who's a creature of habit, and I don't want to make excuses for the guy. I mean, he's got to go out there. You pay him to go out there and perform. But, I mean, just the way he reacted after the game, he clearly was uncomfortable being in that spot.
Yeah. I wonder if when he expressed he was uncomfortable, they thought twice and said maybe we shouldn't put him in that position. Or if it was just, you know, tunnel vision, this is the best thing to do, and it doesn't matter what he thinks.
No, they were like, you know what, he might be uncomfortable now, but he'll thank us later because we'll get him through the first inning. He'll have all these lefties in the lineup.
Right.
So he's going to love
it. The parent, like, you'll thank us. You don't realize it now, but this will work out for you.
Yeah, he's going to love it.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, guys, we'll get back to the Yankees in a little bit. Let's switch our attention to the NFL, and it's certainly not good news. I mean, you find out this morning Stephon Gilmore test positive for COVID-19. And we didn't really talk about this a lot. We're so excited to see the Chiefs and the Patriots even without Cam Newton. Chris, playing that game in retrospect seems very questionable, being that Cam Newton, your quarterback, tested positive for COVID on Saturday, and we know the incubation period. Then you play that game on Monday night? I mean, very questionable.
Yeah, I think it was a questionable decision by the NFL, and knowing that Stephon Gilmore tested positive for the virus today, I mean, clearly he was infected with the virus when he played on Monday night, so you're thinking about how many other guys could potentially be exposed to COVID-19 as a result of making the decision to play that game. But this is one of those things where the NFL is going to be headstrong, Dave. They're going to try to push through this thing no matter what. The players are resistant to going to a modified bubble and staying at the hotels and going from there to the practice facilities and nowhere else. And so you recognize that you were going to have some positive tests and guys were going to have to go on that COVID-19 list. But I don't think the NFL has any real solution to the issue. And now you're wondering what's going to happen to the schedule. Because, I mean, there are going to be some games that are in doubt. Like Tennessee, they didn't play their game against Pittsburgh, but their game this week against Buffalo is in question now. Because
they can't open the facility.
They had another guy test positive today. So, again, this is a big mess, and I don't know from a scheduling standpoint how the NFL is going to figure out the logistics of this problem.
They're going to be hard-pressed. I mean, I don't know. Again, they have to wait at least, what is it, 2 days? They have to have two consecutive days of no more positives?
Yes.
Yep.
Think of the teams that are affected now. So Tennessee continues to be affected. Two more guys actually tested positive this morning. So they can't open up their facility on a Wednesday, and they have a huge game against Buffalo on Sunday. You got New England now, Stephon Gilmore. A Raiders player test positive. I don't know if you saw the photo, Rick, of Stephon Gilmore almost being cheek to cheek with Pat Mahomes after the game. Like, this is really bad right now in the NFL.
Yeah, but that's why you're always a little bit skeptical, right? Like, you see this, no positive test today. Well, that's fine. I mean, what you need to realize is the incubation period is different with each one of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have, you know, five consecutive days where you're negative, and then all of a sudden day six and seven you start popping positive. Like, there's a reason why there's a certain amount of time we have to quarantine, because you could be carrying it and not test positive.
Right.
Yep.
But how could we have thought that they could play that Patriots game after on Saturday the leader of the team, the quarterback, tested positive?
Because
they thought they had it isolated to just one player.
Well, plus what you saw, and the other thing what you saw too is it didn't transmit to the Vikings. That Tennessee having it didn't affect the Vikings.
Yeah.
So maybe they figured even if someone for the Patriots has it, it didn't affect the team Tennessee was playing, so it won't affect Kansas City. Which is, listen,
that's the part that'll be interesting to see, though, Rick. If in fact that you start seeing some guys from the Kansas City Chiefs pop positive,
oh, that'd be
like
terrible.
That to me would be okay, because now you have the possibility of transmission through competition. Like, we're just attributing to these positive tests being guys, you know, getting it by going about their day-to-day lives away from the practice facility. But that might not necessarily be the case. Like, we're saying, okay, the outbreak with Tennessee, that's an isolated incident. We're just seeing one-offs with the rest of these teams. But now with the Patriots, you know, Stephon Gilmore test positive. You had the Cam Newton positive test. They had another practice squad guy test positive yesterday. So, I mean, you're starting to wonder, okay, what's really going on here? And how can the NFL get this thing under control? And to me, I don't have an answer beyond making the decision to get the players in a modified bubble. They had a conference call between the owners, the coaches, the GMs on Monday, and they said that this is probably not going to be something that we're going to be able to get the union on board with. But if you're an NFL player, I mean, your season is at risk if you don't make the decision to try to do everything that you can, which includes, in my opinion, going into a hotel room and choosing to play the remainder of the season being between a hotel and a practice facility. That's just me. I don't know how else they do it, because you're seeing the second wave of COVID-19 starting to, you know, come throughout our country. Like, I don't know how the NFL players think they're going to be immune to that unless they isolate themselves.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's the second wave. It just feels like people just have starting to kind of just pretend like it's not around. And seriously, around here.
Well, it's going back up in 32 states. So the rate of infection is going back up in 32 states. So I don't know.
No, I understand that. But you're talking about, I mean, there's a handful of places, you know, that I got buddies who work in where he says wherever he goes, no one's wearing masks. All the different states, sports are starting up. You can't keep NFL players who get tested every single day from getting COVID-19. Yet you think you can send a bunch of kids to play sports and not have guys not have these kids test positive? Of course the numbers are going to go up. They're going up in the NFL. And they're taking every single precaution necessary.
Right. But what do you do with the Titans now?
All I'm saying is the rate of infection is going up, and so the NFL has to do something to curtail that so it doesn't impact their entertainment product. And to me, outside of isolating the players, I don't know what else you do. I don't know how this thing, you know, how you put a lid on this thing, how you come up with a solution, other than the players agreeing to go stay in hotels.
I think that's always been the solution. We said that from the beginning. That was the only way it was going to...
But they won't do it.
No. Well, because, you know, I mean, you're not just worried about you. You're worried about, I mean, people have kids going to school. You're worried about everyone else, too, in the house. Do all the right things you want. But once you're in your house, you have to make sure that everyone in your house is doing all the right things, too.
Right.
Which isn't easy.
I mean, basically, we are reliant on everyone doing the right thing, and you can see that that's just not the case. That for all those that will, there's plenty that won't. And that's why we're in the situation we're in.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially around you, people are sick of it. There's a lot of people that are sick of dealing with it and have now decided to kind of to take their foot off the gas in how safe and cautious they're being.
It's great.
Which might be the dumbest mindset that you could possibly have in the
moronic.
Middle of a
By the way, on that note, Bobby Bowden has just been rushed to the hospital. He has COVID, and his wife said still precautionary, but by ambulance taken to the hospital.
You had another coach, too, didn't Kevin? Kevin Sumlin's got it, too, doesn't he?
I didn't see that, but yeah, maybe.
Yeah, Kevin Sumlin has it from Arizona, yeah.
Great.
He's got it.
How about the 20 guys that are on the same plane as Stephon Gilmore?
Oh, terrible. How about the Chiefs? I mean, Mahomes is nose-to-nose with them, and they're playing the Raiders this week, who just tested positive.
Yeah, but at least you saw with the Vikings that have been, apparently because it's outdoors or whatever it is that, you know, somehow it didn't transit from Tennessee to the Vikings. But if you're sitting in a plane with somebody, if Stephon Gilmore has it, and I'm flying from New England, from Boston to Kansas City on the same plane.
And now you have to deal with days
I think that was their logic for splitting the team and going in two planes. I think that's why they did it, so they could make sure that they spread out in the planes and they were, you know, I guess properly distanced. Although I don't know how you properly distance on a plane, but I guess that was their logic behind doing it. I don't know if every team is going to take that approach to try to make sure that if there is somebody that could potentially have it, they don't infect the rest of the team. I mean, this is a very tricky thing. But again, I come back to, if you're not completely isolating the players, then you know, it's just in terms of having confidence in your plan and your ability to stay on schedule with how you've kind of laid things out. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Well, you can't. It's impossible.
You can't.
I mean, I don't know how you can.
You can't. Hello, Dan. How are you?
You cut out for a second, but you're back.
Well, I'm glad.
It's been a busy day. But,
it really has. It's a crazy
it's
day.
It's almost over. Yeah.
There's a lot of news. Let's go there. I guess the one that's most intriguing to me is the Titans, and two more tests positive today.
Yeah.
I guess the Titans-Bills game is really up in the air right now for Sunday, isn't it?
I would agree with that. I mean, I think, you know, the only way they would really be able to play that game as scheduled would be if the Titans came back all negative tomorrow and the league would approve them to open their facility, league and the players union would approve them to open their facility. But it feels far-fetched because they just had two straight days of negative tests and they thought they could get back in today, and then two more positives. So I don't know that the league and union are going to necessarily trust one more day of all negatives in Tennessee and allow them to get back to work. So they haven't been together since last Monday, and, you know, the game being Sunday, it's not going to be a lot of prep time, and they can't push it back to Monday because the Bills are playing next Thursday. So, yeah, this is going to be a tricky one. They're going to have a hard time rescheduling this one if they end up having to do it.
Yeah, but, Dan, with the incubation period of this virus, I mean, even the yeah. Patriots game, the fact that it was Cam Newton, he was in close contact with guys like Stephon Gilmore, I mean, in all honesty, you know, outside of, and Canty and I have been talking about this from the beginning, you know, some kind of, you know, bubble, whatever you want to call it, where guys are, you know, stuck in a hotel like they would be in training camp. Like, how do you honestly prevent something like this from continuing to happen?
Well, the key thing is, you know, the league has said all along, it's not going to be able to prevent positive tests. What it wants to prevent is spread. And so what we've seen in Tennessee is a spread and an outbreak, and that's obviously, you know, they're under investigation and they're trying to figure out what went wrong there, because the league and the union believe that the protocols they have in place, if followed, will work in terms of preventing spread. And they feel like in Tennessee those protocols were not followed. Now, we'll see what happens with New England. If there continue to be positive tests in New England and there's an outbreak like what we saw in Tennessee, then, you know, now you have two teams that you're dealing with in terms of, you know, did something go wrong with protocols? If it remains limited and we don't get positive tests back from Kansas City, which played New England Monday night, then you have isolated cases which you can treat and deal with. So as of now, they're wobbling, obviously, but they're not at the point where they feel like the system is messed up and they have to change it. And the bubble idea, I was just told again this morning, I mean, it's just not under consideration. They feel like it's just too big a population in terms of the number of people that play for and work for each team, and they feel like bubbling them up would create a situation where there's, you know, maybe even a greater possibility for spread with that many people in one place.
So let me get this right, Dan. They think that going to a modified bubble and having all the personnel in hotels could potentially enhance the or increase the rate of transmission of the virus in the NFL population. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, I mean the example was, like, you know, where have you seen most spread, you know, in like society at large, right? You're talking about like nursing homes and places where a lot of people are together, you know, for extended periods of time. So that was the example. Like, look, I'm not saying, you know, they're right or they're wrong. I'm telling you, this is the way they're thinking. And they don't want to go into the bubble. They feel like it's too many people. And at this point, they believe that the protocols, which they worked on all summer, which they issued new sort of, you know, a strengthening or enhancement of yesterday in terms of more rules that are being put in place going forward, they feel like that's their best chance to get the season played.
Dan, the events of the last 10 days in regards to COVID, it makes it feel like it's pushing us closer to the reality that every team in the NFL might not play 16 games. Is that what people in the NFL are bracing themselves for? Are we closer to that reality?
Yeah, that is a possibility, always has been a possibility. You know, the league raised the possibility the other day that teams might have to forfeit games if they're found to be culpable for a situation that, you know, messes up the schedule or messes up other teams. So, you know, it's, yes, you could get to a point where they can't reschedule. Let's, for example, if they can't reschedule Tennessee-Buffalo, there's nowhere to put it, and they decide that forfeiture on Tennessee's behalf is too severe a punishment for whatever it is they did, and they could simply cancel the game, and those two teams end up playing 15 games, and everyone else plays 16, and so the playoff seedings are determined on winning percentage. And that's possible. Baseball did it, right? Not everybody plays the same number of games there. So, I think. But, yeah, so that's their everything's on the table, and they don't know exactly how it's going to go the rest of the way, and they're not going to until, unless and until they finish.
Ugh, unbelievable. Dan Graziano with us here. Go ahead.
Austin.
No, Dan, I wanted to ask you this question because there's another game that's, you know, potentially going to be rescheduled on Monday night, but that's not for COVID concerns. Can you tell us a little more about that?
You know, I've seen the coverage of this story with the, you're talking about New Orleans, right?
Yep.
Yeah, this is not because I've been kind of on the other stuff this morning, but I have been following that. I don't know necessarily, haven't done a lot of reporting on it, but what it looks like is because of the hurricane, it looks like from what I've seen, the Saints are thinking about moving their operation somewhere else. Was it Indianapolis for the week?
Yep.
And maybe even playing there Monday night if they can't play at the Superdome. So, yeah, it's there's only room in your head for so many, you know, potential calamities at once. And so, I'm a little bit out of the loop on that one, but I did take note of it. And certainly it's possible. There's precedent for stuff like that in terms of weather concerns, you know, natural disasters. So obviously they have to make sure and keep their people safe. And if relocating for the week is what they have to do, then I think the league is in position to accommodate that. They've done stuff like that before.
Dan Graziano with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Dan, let me ask you something on the field, at least before we let you go, and that is Washington. I mean, already they're benching Dwayne Haskins?
Crazy.
I mean, he started, 13 games in the NFL? And I don't think he's going to be a great quarterback by any stretch, but it seems like they're done with him, right?
Yeah, you don't think, but you don't know that because you haven't seen enough to base a decision on. But apparently Washington's coaching staff has. Look, this was the alarm went off when they brought Kyle Allen over because we know that Ron Rivera and Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, really liked Kyle Allen last year in Carolina and, you know, trust him, I guess. So, yeah, it's unfortunate because Haskins, you know, drafted by a team where the coach and the owner weren't on the same page in terms of drafting him, and then the coach gets fired early in his rookie year, and now there's a new coach, and he's not his guy. So it really does tell you that, like, so much of it matters. Like, we marvel at, like, what Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson have done. And maybe those guys would have been great anywhere. But they did happen to land in two outstanding spots in terms of the coaching staff and the coaching staff's ability to be creative and play to their strength and the continuity of the coaching staff's there. So that tells you what the good and the bad of it. And the bad of it is with the situation Haskins is in where, you can have an opinion on him, but I don't think there's enough evidence at the pro level really to inform a qualified opinion on him. And hopefully he gets the chance to show more.
It was only 11 starts, Dave, by the way. He's played in 13 games. Dwayne Haskins only started 11 games.
11 starts, Josh Rosen got more starts.
Crazy. Dan, the names you mentioned, too. I mean, Mahomes and Lamar. I'd put Josh Allen on that list, too.
Absolutely, right? I mean, he ends up in a spot with a coaching staff that is comfortable and is going to sit there and go, how can we make this work, as opposed to, you know, let's get our guy in here and make it work, right? I mean, that's what the good coaches do. They take what they have and they figure out how to win with it. And, I think it's a shame. It could be ridiculous. We could look back and say it's ridiculous to compare Dwayne Haskins to those guys because, obviously, but again, we don't know. And I don't see where Washington can really convince itself that this year is anything other than a rebuild. And if it is a rebuild, then I think you do want to spend it finding out what you have in your first round pick from last year.
Very, very strange. Very, very strange. All right, Dan, listen, we really appreciate it. You know, more than ever, stay healthy this week, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. You guys too. I don't know. My Siri is talking to me now, and it's just been a weird day, guys. But I appreciate you guys having me on. I always enjoy it, and take care.
All right, that, of course, is Dan Graziano, and this is the beauty of live radio. We want to remind you, on DCR, you can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. Rick, we're going to go into observations in like 30 seconds. Rangers did very well last night, from what I'm reading.
Yeah, they did well. I mean, the second that ping pong ball came up with the first overall pick, they knew exactly who they were taking.
He's a stud, isn't he?
Stud.
Great.
He's a stud. The only downside is
he's not a center.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's what I've heard. And the kid they moved up for, Schneider at 19, you know anything about him?
Yeah, that's another good move. I mean, that was one of those ones where being, you know, having the ability to kind of pick up the phone, get an offer, say, okay, this guy's a guy we like, move up. That was a good move.
I guess they were concerned the Devils were going to take him, right, at 20?
Yeah, their front office is doing a hell of a job, man. Hell of a job.
Good, good. Islanders, Devils did well, too, quickly.
And Canty loves their head coach.
Well, he's a great guy. He's a friend of the show. How dare you?
Traitor. I'm surprised he hasn't quit the Rangers and gone to Tampa. Did you see that? Did you see the hat that John Cooper was wearing after Tampa won the Stanley Cup?
Yep.
Virginia. Ugh. That was the
Chris Canty. Wahoo wah. There you go. Yep. There you go.
All right, let's go. We don't have a lot of time, so let's go, Santy. Play it.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here we go, fellas. Wednesday edition, Knobservations. Quickly, Dave. Weather. Quickly. Weather.
Oh, weather. All right, I wasn't prepared for this, but thanks for that open. It's nice today. It's a high of 66 degrees, a little partly cloudy. Actually, I'm seeing a chance of rain at about 4 o'clock, but other than that, this is going to be a nice, nice day and be into the 60s, well into the evening, and then a clear, crisp evening as well. Sun setting at 6:25, so it gets earlier and earlier. That's a quick check of the weather. Go.
Terrific. Terrific. You mentioned the NHL draft. Santy's got some sound for us. A little surprised last night with the NHL draft and the Ottawa Senators draft pick.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jeopardy. Our category today is the NHL, and here is the clue for you. With the third pick in the 2020 NHL draft, the Ottawa Senators choose this player. The correct response? Who is Tim Stutzel?
That's awesome.
That was cool.
That's awesome. By the way, in the entire country, is there anybody more likable than Alex Trebek?
No.
Or according to Don, Alec Trebek.
Well, that's incorrect. But, I mean, he's so likable.
Well,
I don't know anybody that doesn't love Alex Trebek.
Sean Connery's not a huge fan.
No.
If you've watched SNL.
That was just fun.
Neither is Turd Ferguson. It's a funny name.
A great skit.
That's his move. That's the sound your mother made last night, Trebek.
Excuse me.
All right, here we go, boys. Did this happen in Florida? 21-year-old student thought it was a good idea that after a couple bottles of Zin and maybe a few shots of honey tequila, what would they do? Well, they would have a good game of dare. What would they dare to do? They would dare her to climb into, of all things, a washing machine. Can we all guess how that turned out?
They put it on spin cycle?
No, she got stuck. Could not get herself out, so they had to call the EMTs to come pull her out of said washing machine.
Oh, my God.
I honestly don't know what's wrong with people. I have no idea what's wrong. How could you, in your mind, think that's a good idea?
Excuse me, it was a dryer. It was not obviously the dryer. She stuck in
either way. It doesn't matter. Either way, it's ridiculous. I understand that's why they call it an observation, but I don't know. I'm going to say it did happen in Florida, though.
Ooh, you say in Florida.
You're going to say it did happen in Florida.
So you think they wash clothes in Florida. Good for you.
I will say no. I'm not going to say Florida.
Santy, you do fun stuff with appliances. Florida?
I'm going to say not Florida, but honestly, I thought this was heading for a much darker place.
No, this is. I don't like to get too dark, I mean, under the circumstances. Dave and Santy are correct. Christopher Candy is not. This was not Florida. This was in the UK.
In the UK.
This is in the UK, yeah.
Home of the cursing parrots, right?
Look, oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they've been separated. You can't trust those five parrots. All right, here's a clip from the Pat McAfee Show. This is when Aaron Rodgers... This could potentially be knobbish. Is he a truth teller, or is he borderline knobby a little bit?
You know, I sometimes laugh when people talk about, you know, down years for me, because a lot of times down years for me are career years for most quarterbacks.
Love it.
Is it knobbish, Chris?
No, it's not knobbish. I love it because it's facts. Love it too. It's true. Yeah, 26 touchdowns to 4 interceptions last year. And 4,000 yards passing, and people said it was a down year. and they won 13 games.
Yeah, he's awesome. You see what they are since Mike McCarthy's left there in the regular season? 17-3. Pretty, pretty good.
Did you do that? Did you do that math all by yourself?
I was about to say, right? Right.
Well, they had the 13 last year and the 4 this year, and then the 3 losses from last year carry over, so that'd be 17-3. But he's 1-3 with the Cowboys, so you figure it out.
How much time we got left, Santi?
8 seconds.
I got a minute?
No.
How many?
8.
Oh, that's it. I only got 8 seconds. Never mind.
Yeah, 5.
I got nothing. No, that's it. I was going to tell you the story about me being a bad parent, but I can't. I don't
tomorrow. Tomorrow we will absolutely get into that story. All right, Yankees, Rays, 7 o'clock tonight right here on 98.7. For us, it's Rule 76.
No excuse to play a champion. It's DPHO, Canty, Rothenberg, and...
Everybody.
On 98.7 ESPN.
DCR is DPHO, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.